You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm your host, Hannah Davis, with Cookeville Regional Medical Center. And here with me today is Dr. Mark Pierce, infectious disease specialist at Cookeville Regional Medical Center. And today we're discussing the flu and other viruses that we might be seeing out there. Welcome, Dr. Pierce. How are you?
I'm doing fine and glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. We're going to kind of jump right into it. The flu is upon us, and there's a lot of cases out there. Why don't we talk a little bit about what we're seeing?
You know, the flu is an acute respiratory illness that's caused by the influenza virus. It typically causes outbreaks in climates like ours. In tropical places, it actually causes just kind of a low level of activity most of the time. But we see epidemics and outbreaks this time of year. And that's why we try to vaccinate people early. But what we're seeing right now is a marked increase in flu cases. We've had an early flu season this year that has really is peaking now. And for instance, at the hospital at Cookeville Regional, we've seen 170 cases in December, and we only saw single-digit cases up until that month, and then a huge spike. We've seen about that same number so far in January as well.
So tell me exactly, what is the flu?
So the flu is, it's a respiratory illness that's caused by the influenza virus. And the influenza virus is a virus that's very well adapted to man, and it's one that tries its best to evade our immune system by changing itself every year. And so how we try to combat that is we develop a flu vaccine every year that we try to choose what are the most likely flu strains that are circulating in that year. But it's basically a virus. You acquire it from other people, typically someone who's coughing or sneezing who has the flu, and you get too close to them, then the virus invades your own mucous membranes. It spreads throughout your body and causes the typical illness that we call the flu.
So that's why you're always like, cover your cough. Don't spit on people.
Exactly. Yeah. If you can only get the flu really from someone who has it. And so if people who have the flu don't have contact with anybody else, it won't spread. But if someone is coming down with the flu and they go to work, you actually begin to spread the flu a day or two before you become sick with it.
Wow. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
That's exactly right. So you may be feeling a little bit achy. You're not really sick yet. And you go to work and then you're actually contagious at that point. You're more contagious when you come down with symptoms, but before you get those symptoms, you can still have a cough or you can speak very closely to somebody and spread it to them. And then you get sick and stay home. And then a couple of days later, they come down with it, get sick and stay home. But while they're at work, they're spreading the virus.
Yeah. So you've got the symptoms, don't go to work.
If you got the symptoms, absolutely don't go to work. And if you have the chance and you feel like you're getting sick, it's best not to have contact with anybody as well.
So, let's talk a little bit about symptoms of the flu. What are those symptoms and what should people be looking out for?
So, you know, when the flu starts, you normally begin to have achiness, and you also can get a sore throat, a non-productive cough. Those things are common. You might have some kind of nasal discharge, but it's kind of that achiness and just feeling, we call it malaise, where you just don't feel right. You just don't feel well. Then you can have your muscles start beginning to ache, and you start having fever. And that's the classic flu.
Yeah. So there's flu A, there's flu B, there's lots of different types of flu. What's the difference between the two, or do we really kind of know?
Well, so clinically, there's not a big difference between flu A and flu B. There's those two major subtypes, A and B, but within each of those, there's several different strains.
Okay.
And so, for instance, the vaccine, we try to target, or not me, but the CDC yes. tries to target the four major strains that they think will be circulating in the next flu season, because they have to develop that vaccine, takes some time to make. So they'll make it like at the end of this flu season, they'll look and see what was circulating the most. They'll try to match the vaccine to those strains. And so if they do a good job of matching it, then the next flu season, people will be more or less protected when they've had the vaccine. However, if a new strain starts to circulate widespread before that next season, it may not be in that particular strain of batch of vaccines, and so it won't be as good a match. For instance, this year, there's four different types. There's of the A type, there's two different strains, and of the B type, there's two different strains.
Hmm.
And the A strain is a pretty good match, but the B strain, especially among children, hasn't been a great match. And so it's been somewhat missed, and partly for that reason, but also flu kind of comes and goes anyways. Even if there were no vaccine, there would be seasons when there was a lot of flu and seasons where there wasn't as much. But this year has been a bad flu season, plus the match hasn't been particularly good for the B strain. And so we're seeing more and more of it.
So how long does the flu last typically?
So typically you'll begin to get sick and then you start running a fever. It will normally last 3 to 5 days. You're usually pretty much over it by 7 days, but it can go on to 7 to 10 days. And that's for a normal, healthy adult. Normal, healthy adult will get it. You know, you're normally at your worst at day two. You also spread more virus at day two. But then the shedding of virus from yourself drops off dramatically after your second day of illness. And usually by the time that your fever is gone, your virus shedding is pretty much non-existent. And so it's probably safe to go back to work once your fever is gone and you're clearly on the mend.
What are ways that we can avoid, I guess you say, catching the flu, or how can we better take care of ourselves, be preventative, I guess you could say?
Yeah. Well, you know, any kind of illness that you come into contact with, you're more likely to get if your body's run down, if you're, you know, fatigued, if you have other things going on. So taking as good a care of yourself as possible is one way. But if you really contact the flu, you're likely to get it if you're not already immune to it. You know, one thing about getting the flu is that then your body develops an immunity to the viruses that are similar to it. And so older people tend to be sometimes more resistant because they've had more experience with previous viruses. But if you get one that can infect you and you come into contact with it, then, you know, you're very likely to get it. So the best way absolutely to avoid it is to not contact it. And so, again, that is people who are sick, they should cover their cough because they're less likely to spread those large droplets in the air or those microscopic droplets. You should stay, you know, away from people that are ill, obviously. You should wipe down surfaces because, you know, you can cough all over a surface and then you touch that with your hand and then touch your mouth and you can infect yourself that way. So the best way is just to not contact it, and that's by not really quarantining, but staying away from people who are sick, and people who are sick, staying home. You know, good hand washing, covering your cough, all those things that we talked about are actually very important.
You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. We're here with Dr. Mark Pierce, infectious disease specialist at Cookeville Regional Medical Center, and we're talking about the flu. So we talked a little bit about ways to avoid catching the flu. I guess this is also an important time to say, clean your phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're speaking into our phone. We're talking about we're talking into it, and it's just.
And especially don't let anybody sick use your phone.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, hey, I'm sick. Can I call a friend? And you're like, no, you can't touch my phone. No, I'm just kidding. But no, cleaning surfaces, you said earlier, and cleaning our cell phones, hand washing, recommendations on hand washing, sanitizer versus, you know, washing with soap and water. What are we looking at?
You know, washing with soap and water is always better. But if you don't have that, then hand sanitizers are a good second choice.
Okay. And in the school system in general, it seems to spread quickly, and then we're closing schools down. Is that just because there's, you know, kids may be symptomatic before and their parents send them not knowing, you know, why do we tend to see a little bit more of that in areas like school?
Well, it's because there is, you know, this congregation of kids and they're more susceptible to flu. And, you know, kids can, like I said, they can transmit before they become sick. And, you know, it's difficult for parents, a parent that's working and doesn't have an easy way to keep a child at home. Sometimes they may look at their child and say, oh, I think they're not really sick, and go ahead and send the child. And that's understandable, but it's the wrong thing to do because that child then can transmit the flu. And, you know, it's not uncommon this time of year to have schools that actually have to shut down because there's so much flu. But the only real way to combat that is to just be very vigilant about trying to keep kids who are sick away from school.
Good advice. I have three kids, and they're all under the age of six, and so it's kind of like, one's in school, and knock on wood, she's been good so far, and we've not had anything, but it's definitely been, it's been a season for children, it seems like. Like you said, the B virus, but we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later. So let's talk about myths. So what are some myths you hear as an infectious disease specialist, and how do you come about the flu, and how do you kind of answer those questions that you get, or the myths you could call them? How do you combat those?
You know, I think the biggest thing that people say is that they can get flu from the vaccine, or that they get the flu every time they get the vaccine, and that is just not true. There is no scientific basis for that at all. Now, if somebody gets the vaccine and then gets the flu, you know, the vaccine doesn't always work. Or somebody could even be incubating the flu. They've been exposed. They don't realize it. they get the vaccine, and then they come down with the flu that they were already incubating, and they think that the vaccine caused it. That probably definitely happened some, but the vaccine did not cause it. It's because they had already been exposed. The other thing is that any vaccine causes an immune response in your body, and you can get soreness and low-grade fever as a result of the vaccine itself, and that is possible. It's not common, but it certainly can happen. And so when that happens, someone may think that they've had a mild case of the flu and they just had a body reaction to the vaccine itself. So there is no way that the flu can give you, or that the vaccine can give you the flu. There is a live attenuated vaccine that we give, which is a weakened flu. But again, that doesn't cause the flu, and we don't give that to people who are severely immunosuppressed, who might be at risk for that to actually cause illness. But that would be the only possibility.
Yeah. I asked you about flu A and flu B, because I feel like when people text, they're like, oh, my kid has a flu, or I have the flu, and they're like, well, what is it? Which one is it? You know, like they're very concerned about which one that it is. And so with the shot and people feeling like, oh, I got the shot, I'm getting the flu. I feel like the two coincide a little bit. And that's what you see there.
Yeah. And, you know, most of the time clinically, you can't tell the difference. It is true that in the past, most of the huge epidemics have been caused by flu A. But flu B can do just exactly the same thing. And it really doesn't matter which strain you have. You still are going to have a very similar clinical illness. And like I said, it's been more common this year for children to get B and for the B vaccine to not be quite as effective. It's important to point out, though, that anytime you get a vaccine for the flu, you are getting certain types of proteins that we call epitopes that your body can make immunity to. And even if you get the flu, a lot of times the vaccine will have protected you from getting more severe disease.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah. Well, that is quite the information about the flu and kind of getting those myths. We're going to talk about some more myths here in just a minute. Any final word to parents, maybe a little bit as far as like what you would suggest for them to do for their kids, since we are seeing those illnesses?
Yeah. Again, I think the most important thing is kind of what we've stressed. But I would say again, if your child is ill, really keep them home. If you yourself are ill, then you should stay home because that's how it gets propagated. The other thing is that, you know, for a healthy adult, flu is generally a illness that you certainly don't want to get, but it's not going to be life-threatening. But it is life-threatening for certain types of people, you know, people that are immunocompromised, people that have significant underlying disease, and for infants that are very, very young. So especially those people who take care of young infants, you know, you need to make really sure that you're not passing something to them that can really do them some harm.
Yeah, that's good.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm your host, Hannah Davis, and here with me is Dr. Mark Pierce, infectious disease specialist at Cookeville Regional Medical Center. And we are talking about the flu and other viruses that we might be seeing out there. We're going to jump back into the myth section of these things. And we talked a little bit, and we're just going to bring it back in. But we've been talking about the flu shot, and there's always controversy on whether to get it or not get it. And you kind of gave an explanation as to that is a myth, and you really can't get the flu from the flu shot. Is that right?
That's correct. Absolutely.
So what is your advice to those who are hesitant and still just to the core believe that is true?
You know, I don't, you know, sometimes people have beliefs that it doesn't matter what you say, they're going to believe them.
Yeah, that's true.
but there's just really no way that you can get, for one thing, the flu vaccine is, and for the standard dose for adults is an inactivated vaccine. The other one is a recombinant vaccine, so neither of those are any kind of live virus at all. Now, you can actually get a mild reaction to the flu vaccine, feel like you have the flu. You might have had, like I said, the flu might have been incubating. You might have been exposed to it and about to come down with it when you get the vaccine, so you think you got it. But there is no reason for someone, for a healthy adult, to not get the flu and not to get the vaccine. And when they don't get the vaccine, not only if it's not completely effective, it will still generally make their illness less severe, but also it protects people who are at risk for getting severe disease.
I
hesitate to get onto people too harshly, but if you don't get the vaccine because of some misinformation, and then you get the flu and you pass it to someone, you've done them a real disservice. And so I think for the greater good of everybody, it's important to get the vaccine. Again, the vaccine or the flu is not generally a fatal disease for a healthy adult, or it's rarely a fatal disease for a healthy adult. But every year we see people who are otherwise healthy who come in and get the flu and have a really bad outcome from it. Mm. They have an abnormal reaction to it, or they had something, maybe they have some slight immunologic problem they didn't realize, and they end up on a ventilator in the hospital for several days or even die from it. And especially certain populations, pregnant women are much more at risk for it. People at the extremes of ages, either very young or very old, all of those can have very severe disease. And people who have underlying bad lungs, they get the flu, and a lot of times that will tip them over and then into pneumonia or other worse outcomes.
Yeah, wow. And we kind of know that the symptoms of the flu are, but if someone's been experiencing these symptoms, and it's been 3 or 4 days, should they still go to the doctor? I mean, at that point, I think there's like a thing out there. It's like, oh, once you have gotten the flu and you're like day 4 or 5 in, you should just like wait it out. Like what would you say to someone who thinks that?
I think that's reasonable. If you're a healthy adult and you've been exposed and you start getting stuffy nose, dry cough, and start getting aches and fever, and then that progresses over a day or two, you start running high fever and aching, but nothing else. I think that almost always is the flu, and the likelihood is you're just going to be fine. On the other hand, if you get an illness that just keeps progressing after day 3 or 4, it's not backing off at all, and it's continuing to make you ill, you continue to have high fever, you could be moving into an area where it's more dangerous, certainly if you're having shortness of breath. But the kind of classic thing is that someone will get the flu. After 2 or 3 days, they'll start to feel better and they'll be improving, and mm-hmm. then they'll have a second wave where they get much sicker. Mm. That person should always go to the doctor, because it's been known for a long time that there are certain types of pneumonia, pneumococcal pneumonia, which is common, and staph pneumonia. Those can infect people who have the flu. As you're getting better from the flu, then this bacterial pneumonia takes over. It's much more serious and requires antibiotic therapy, whereas the flu, antibiotics don't help because it's a virus. So those kind of complications, anyone who seems like they're getting better and then clearly is worsening, that person should get in to be seen for sure.
Okay. So we are seeing a few news reports mentioning deaths from the flu. I know we've heard several about children, and you kind of talked about how that happens. I know each case is different, but can you reiterate a little bit, why do we typically see deaths from the flu?
So the flu normally is a self-limited illness that a healthy adult can overcome. However, there are those cases that progress to something much more serious. And the one I just mentioned was when you get a secondary bacterial pneumonia. So older people or people who have bad lungs or people who are smokers are more at risk to get a secondary bacterial infection. That can be very severe, and you can die from that. The other thing is that sometimes the flu can cause, your body can have unusual reactions to it. You know how you get that aching with the flu? Mm-hmm. That actually is inflammation in your muscles. And you can get, I've seen people have to be hospitalized because the flu virus caused breakdown of their muscles. We call that rhabdomyolysis. It's like someone who exercises too hard and they get breakdown of their muscles, and that can cause kidney failure. That's certainly possible. There are other unusual reactions that you can have to the flu. You can get an encephalitis with it. It's not common, but it can happen. Can be very serious. You can get transverse myelitis, where you get paralysis of part of your body because of inflammation in the spinal cord itself from the flu. All of those things are possible. There have been reports also, several years ago there was an illness everybody was worried about called toxic shock syndrome that was caused by staph. That can actually happen with the flu as well. It's not common, but
really,
all those things are possible. And again, they're more likely in certain populations, pregnant women, old people, infants, that type of thing.
Is it ever too late to get the flu shot?
Well, I probably wouldn't get the flu shot after the flu season has passed.
And what is the flu season?
So the flu season, you know, is it can start as early as August, September, but typically we like to have everybody have their shot by the end of October.
Okay.
Because that's when it really would start. And the season typically has two peaks. So there'd be an early peak that we're seeing now, and then it might kind of go away a little bit, then might come back in like later February and March. And that's fairly common. So anytime during that flu season, anytime from, say, October through April or May, I would go ahead and get the flu shot. Maybe not May, but April. If they were having a second peak, I would. Through the summertime, I wouldn't get a flu shot. And I wouldn't get a flu shot that was too early. Especially if you're an older person, you know, the flu shot, we don't make perfect immunity to it. It will wane with time. And so if you get a flu shot in July, your immunity might actually start to go away before that second peak comes.
Oh, yeah.
So we like to get people to have their flu shot, you know, September, October. And for kids who need two shots, we like to have their second shot completed by the end of October. And but like we're seeing so much flu right now, if you haven't had a shot and we're in January, I would absolutely get one.
Yeah, that's good advice. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. We're here with Dr. Mark Pierce, infectious disease specialist at Cookeville Regional Medical Center, and we are talking about the flu and other viruses. So, who is recommended to get the flu shot, and why is it important they do so?
Okay, so there used to be a recommendation that it was that healthy adults didn't need the flu. Almost anybody who is not a healthy adult really should get the flu. Certainly children should get it. Certainly older people should get it. Again, pregnant women are particularly at risk. And anybody who has a chronic disease, anybody who has heart disease, chronic lung disease, diabetes, any kind of chronic inflammatory disease, all those people should definitely get the flu shot. The other people who should get it, like I said, if you're a healthy adult, I would get it anyway, because believe me, if you've had the flu, you don't want it.
Absolutely.
You're much more likely not to get it if you've had the shot. But especially those people who have contact with a lot of other people. So teachers, you know, school administrators, people who work in large factories, all of those people, really, it's much better if they get it. And certainly healthcare workers. We at the hospital, we're very serious about it. If a healthcare worker, we don't make people take the flu shot. But if they refuse it, then we make them wear a mask whenever they have patient contact, because we don't want that person to get the flu and transfer it to our patients who are already at risk for more severe disease.
So they're not infectious or infected. They're protecting you by wearing a mask when you walk around the hospital.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is there anyone who should avoid getting the flu shot?
I didn't specifically look. I think infants under 6, we don't give it to. Of course, they're relatively protected by their maternal antibodies that they get from their mom at the time of birth. There are some people who have severe immunodeficiency. There's a type of flu shot. There's one type of flu vaccine that they should not get, but they can still get the inactivated vaccine or the only other people who really shouldn't get a flu shot is someone who has had the shot and had an abnormal reaction to it.
Like an allergic reaction.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
There used to be a concern that people that had egg allergies shouldn't get it because it was grown in eggs, but now we have cell culture where it's grown in, so it's egg free, so there's no egg proteins at all in the vaccine.
Oh, that's good news. So all you egg allergy people out there, you can get your flu shot now.
Absolutely.
Well, let's switch gears up just a little bit and talk about other viruses that are out there right now. What else are we seeing besides flu?
You know, anytime that you have a season just blanked on winter season, we have a lot of respiratory viruses that circulate. You know, the one for children is RSV, and so that's a respiratory syncytial virus, can cause significant illness, but that's mainly in children. Adults really don't get RSV. It's very, very rare for an adult too. But there's other viruses called parainfluenza virus, adenoviruses, and certainly this time of year, rhinoviruses, which are the common cold virus, they circulate a lot. We don't really have vaccines for any of those at this point. And usually their illness is milder, although some of them, adenovirus, parainfluenza virus, can cause an illness very, very similar to the flu and just as severe.
So sometimes when you test negative for the flu and you've been tested with some other things, like everything comes back negative, you may have one of these viruses. Well, RSV, you do test positive for if you have
RSV,
children.
They have a good test for that. But like adenovirus or parainfluenza virus or coronavirus or rhinovirus, none of those you'll test positive for.
Yeah.
So if you have a flu-like illness, but you know, also it's kind of up to the healthcare provider, but the tests are not 100%. And so you may have the flu and test negative. That's possible.
You've been listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. Here with us today was Dr. Mark Pierce, infectious disease specialist at Cookeville Regional. And we've been talking about the flu. I'm your host, Hannah Davis, at Cookeville Regional Medical Center. And we will see you back here next Thursday.